Seventh episode, How to Overcome Fear. The long-awaited meeting of the Keeper of Knowledge with his disciples took place in the park, near the lake. Nature bestowed its grace upon the people in the form of a fresh breeze and the fragrance of wildflowers. The leaves of bushes rustling, swaying slightly as if whispering among themselves. Men and women awaiting the Master settled on the soft, thick grass, the silky touch of which was soothing, but not sedative. The warm evening added harmony to this benevolent scene. A majestic silhouette appeared in the distance, and with a smooth, almost gliding stride, approached them.
"Master, our beloved Master is coming,"
people exclaimed first in a whisper, and then, as he drew nearer, in full voice. The mood of those gathered was joyful because each meeting with the Keeper of Knowledge was a touch of spiritual truth, filling their hearts with light and love, addressing the higher with the chanting of the cosmic mantra.
"Ahum,"
the Keeper indicated to the disciples that he was ready for their questions.
"Dear Master, while walking through the park, I passed by the carousels. The noise and cries of people caught my attention."
A young man of about 20, dressed in white linen pants and a polo shirt, spoke first. His gestures and expressions revealed his sincerity and straightforwardness.
"I remembered the moment,"
he continued,
"when I rode more serious attractions, roller coasters. I recall the intense fear that came to me then. What was that? Fear of essence? Did my self-preservation instinct kick in? But at the same time, I know another type of fear in myself, such as before taking on a new task, I experienced the fear of evaluation."
"Yes, that's right. You're doing great, Daniel, correctly observing yourself."
The Keeper smiled in response.
"The fear of embarrassment before others comes from personality. But the fear of height or darkness comes from essence because there is no evaluation by other people in these situations. These instincts are inherent in us by nature, preventing a person from easily destroying oneself. When fear or discomfort arises, the person retreats in face of some danger. For example, our instinctive center is programmed for us to fear heights. Otherwise, we might fall and break ourselves. A person should fear heights. Those who suppress such fear climb on cranes, frolic on the edge of the roof, take cheerful selfies on the edge of a cliff. Many of them fall and get hurt. There is also essential fear from past experiences or past lives."
"Master, where does this fear from past lives, which you mentioned, come from, and how can it be distinguished from instinctive fear?"
asked a young man with interest.
"If I may add to my question, I know that there are common fears shared by many people, such as the fear of heights or fear of death. Then there are rarer fears like claustrophobia or fear of water. What could be the reasons behind this?"
"Does anyone here have claustrophobia?"
the Master inquired of the disciples sitting around him. A couple of women nodded in confirmation, and one tall, gray-haired man energetically raised his hand, as if afraid of missing the opportunity to ask a timely question. He was older than the others and rarely asked questions, but now the topic touched on his personal issue, and he decided.
"Me. I have a phobia, and I'm even ashamed to talk about it. I'm terribly afraid of rodents, mice, and rats."
"Don't worry, Damir. That's why we're here. To discuss the troubling topics."
The Keeper of Knowledge sent the man a beam of soothing energy, love, and support.
"The fears mentioned by both Daniel and Damir can be related to planetary positions and tendencies from past lives. For example, in a past life, a person climbed where they shouldn't have and died in a cave. Now in this life, they have claustrophobia. They can't be in a confined space and are even afraid to ride an elevator. While another person may crawl through caves and engage in extreme cave diving without any problem, this means they didn't have such a negative experience in a past life. It's also possible that a person's astrological chart is arranged in a way that they enjoy such activities. Just like fears, our brave deeds can be individual. Someone is fearless in social situations, while someone else is fearless in jumping from heights. In general, both fear and courage are the result of our astrological charts or past lives.
Bowing their heads and folding their hands in a prayer gesture, the men thanked the keeper, who showed that he was ready to continue answering questions. A middle-aged woman in wide Afghani pants and an outfit, resembling a sari, decided to ask a question. She had a lovely, tender complexion framed by thick black hair that flowed in beautiful waves that shimmered in the fading sunlight.
"Great Master, I noticed that my fear of heights has intensified over time. I didn't have it in childhood. Does personality impose additional limitations on us? I've thought about this question a lot before. I'm glad that today you touched on this topic."
Her eyes moistened slightly.
"Mila, this could be related to the energy level. The strengthening or weakening of fears depends on our internal state. In different states, a person manifests differently. If they have more energy, they fear less. And when energy drops, they weaken and experience more fear."
"Thank you for your help, Great One."
The woman expressed her gratitude sincerely, and after a moment lowering her gaze, waiting for a pause, she added,
"I ask for your help, Master. I am concerned about my 5-year-old goddaughter, the daughter of my close friend. She is very afraid of the dark, has difficulty falling asleep. Why does she experience this fear? Because of the scary stories told by adults? Or is the instinctive center triggering it? How can I help her?"
"In principle, anyone can have an instinctive fear of darkness,"
began the Keeper of Knowledge in response.
"Because in the dark, one cannot orient themselves properly, and there may be potential danger. But there can also be an induced fear of darkness. If parents scared the child in childhood, saying, 'Hurry, go to bed, or the bogeyman will attack you in the dark.' Invite your friend to the school. If she is concerned about her daughter, she will find answers to this and other questions."
"Thank you, Keeper of Knowledge. I believe she is ready to meet with you. She noticed that I come from our sessions with a warm heart and asked me to take her with me. You seem woven from the energy of love. I want to touch what has changed you so much. Maybe it will help me finally become truly happy." These were her words.
The girl joyfully shared. The girl's words sparkled through the space, and everyone remembered what the Great Keeper had personally given them. Gratitude and joy at the opportunity to be with the Master emanated from the gathered ones. The benevolence flowing from the Master's heart to the hearts of the disciples and back seemed visible to the naked eye, resembling a golden stream. Bliss, in which the seated disciples dissolved, spread across the entire park and filled everything around. After a brief pause, the dialogue continued. A dark-haired short man with a determined demeanor posed his question to the keeper. He had a strong athletic build, and his tanned body, weathered face, and powerful muscular arms indicated that he spent a lot of time outdoors.
I'm curious, Master. Fear is not a physical barrier, but essentially it blocks a person's actions. So is it like a program? Does both the false personality and the instinctive center have this blocking function? Help me understand."
His voice was sharp, resonant, and loud, characteristic of strong-willed individuals accustomed to commanding.
Yes, Timur, in the instinctive center, first and foremost, there is a self-preservation program. Humans are hardwired with fears of fire, heights, darkness, wild animals, corpses, and something else, all to ensure their survival. Because without these fears, they might jump into the fire or start examining a corpse, and within it, there could be infections, viruses, insects. But with these fears, they immediately recognize that if there's a corpse in front of them, they shouldn't touch it. A fear arises. If someone died here, then I could perish too. However, socially imposed fears, those instilled by other people, are entirely different. They are shaped under the influence of prohibitions or condemnation from the surrounding society, essentially forced upon individuals by a sick community, and often lack objective grounds for such behavior. Don't talk to people, don't ask anyone for anything, behave properly, and so on. Such suggestions lead to difficulty in communication, a step to the left or right, and strong discomfort immediately engulfs them. Such a person is incapable of doing anything new. Immediately feels fear, restraint, and suppression. They can only follow a pattern because they fear making a mistake and being judged negatively by others.
Promise not to touch corpses?
Someone in the crowd squeaked, causing laughter from those around. And the master.
Exactly.
The master smiled.
Let's continue exploring fears. Who is ready to share their stories?
He looked questioningly at the disciples.
I've been wanting to ask, Great One. When I experience fear, I freeze and can't do anything about it. But listening to you, I understand that one can observe their manifestations. So mindfulness is like a pill, a recipe for overcoming fears. It helps understand who imposes this fear on me, where it comes from, and guides me on how to fight and get rid of it. Is that right?
A young, long-haired man, resembling a poet or philosopher, shared his reflection. He wore a long white garment, either a hood or a cape with sleeves, and his entire being was directed towards the master.
Dionysius, yes, first and foremost, you must see your fears, understand their source.
At this moment, the keeper of knowledge swept his gaze across his disciples, and each felt as if he were looking directly at them. Men and women endeavored to grasp every word he spoke, immersing themselves in memories.
Believe me, my beloved ones, even from this, you will begin to feel lighter. A person blinded by fear cannot think clearly, doesn't comprehend what is what. But when we start to observe it from a distance, dissect it into parts, fear ceases to dominate over us.
Master,
Dionysius continued,
you mentioned that fear is the father of consciousness. Does it help on the spiritual path, or is it more destructive than beneficial?
If a person is horrified by their own self, such fear begins to help them. They start seeing and understanding themselves, realistically. Realizing their deformities and how they became like that, they begin to evolve. If a person hasn't felt all this, if they believe everything is fine, they won't change. They will continue their senseless life. In other words, fear helps us improve ourselves.
Thank you, Keeper.
The man bowed deeply. His eyes were ablaze.
I feel like I've just heard the answer I've been seeking for years.
Insights weren't limited to the man in the white cape. The keeper of knowledge watched with joy as the faces of those in front of him changed. For many, it seemed as if their eyes were opening. Others showed a shadow of surprise and enlightenment, while some were simply happy to grasp the complexity of the topic.
Master, I also have a question about fear.
a tall, majestic woman in a bright red dress named Georgina took the floor, always impeccably dressed and groomed. Today she wore an elegant summer jumpsuit with a neat bun of chestnut hair on her head. Her high forehead and attentive, sharp eyes spoke of analytical abilities and a desire to get to the truth.
Is the fear as the father of consciousness an essential fear that allows one to be in the moment of fright? Or is it some spiritual fear that gives birth to sacred awe?
Yes, Georgina, it's an essential fear. When fear arises, a person becomes alert, immediately seeing and hearing well, not drifting into thoughts, but existing in reality, here and now. One could say that such fear replaces mindfulness because, in that moment, one needs to notice danger and escape. I say it replaces mindfulness because if a person were truly conscious, they would already be alert, in a vigilant state.
Thank you, Great One. I understand. But a new question arises for me. Could you please explain what happens in that moment? I vividly remember when I had to jump into the river from a great height. I experienced intense fear and noticed a heightened awareness kicking in at that moment. Why does this happen?
Because when a person is afraid, they wake up. If there's danger, it's time to wake up. One cannot encounter danger in a sleepy state, daydreaming, or reminiscing about something. In such a floating state, one cannot cope with danger. They might perish. Hence, a complete mobilization of the organism occurs. All thoughts vanish from the mind. One sees everything, hears everything, constantly on alert, ready to run or do something at any moment. The main goal is survival, to perceive danger, which means waking up. And awakening is being in a state of mindfulness.
When the master and Georgina finished their dialogue, a young girl, a teenager who came with her parents, approached the center of the clearing, closer to the master. She wanted a more detailed answer to her question. She was nimble, smart, and bold. All the disciples of the school loved her for her cheerful nature and her red, curly hair, which, glimmering in the crowd, shimmered like the sun, uplifting the mood of those around.
Dear Keeper, why does fear paralyze a person? For example, seeing a bear, one runs away and another freezes. What manifests in that moment? Personality or essence?
Essences have different survival strategies. Angelina, but
the master was pleased that not only adults, but also children were active in their quest to touch the truth.
Perhaps you've learned in zoology class that animals exhibit similar behavior. Some animals, upon seeing danger, first hide and sit still until the predator gets very close. And only then, when it's very close, they start running. Others immediately run away upon noticing danger.
Master, I've also heard that some animals pretend to be dead, and the predator doesn't eat them then.
Suddenly, unable to contain himself, Alan exclaimed from his place.
Yes, Alan, that's correct. Such a phenomenon exists. However, in human society, such paralysis can often come from personality. If parents often intimidate a child, in such situations, the child cannot actively express themselves. They freeze. It's a catatonic stupor that causes constraint and immobility, whereas in a normal person, fear should trigger activity. The adrenaline rush provides us with a lot of energy, helping us run faster, think, and react.
Oh, Master, I didn't know that an emotion like fear could be beneficial for us,
the girl exclaimed sincerely.
Yes, Angelina, the fear I described is beneficial because it gives us strength and energy. But inhibiting fear that prevents action is harmful because it doesn't give a person the opportunity to help themselves.
Master, am I correct in understanding that sometimes fear is beneficial not just for its own sake,
the teenage girl clarified,
but to teach us to detach from false personalities? For example, if we get caught in a snowstorm or an avalanche, adrenaline is released, giving a chance for salvation, the strength to escape. But sometimes our false personality gets scared, and we can freeze. Do I understand correctly that going through such a trial, we also learn something? I can't express it correctly, but it seems to me it's related to our false personality.
Angelina continued to ponder, her inquisitive, youthful mind seeking to get to the essence. The keeper smiled and embraced the young listener with his warm, wise energy.
You think correctly? It allows us to disconnect from our false personalities?
I understood!
Angelina suddenly exclaimed loudly.
So by going through such experiences, are we also preparing ourselves to follow the master?
The girl almost clapped her hands with joy at such insight, and in the crowd, a sigh of amazement was heard. Everyone saw the girl from a completely different perspective. Angelina was not just a child interested in animal behavior. She had asked a genuinely profound question that not every adult could formulate.
In one way or another, many do not rush to truly embark on the path of spiritual development and fully surrender to the spiritual master. But life sometimes arranges situations from which there is no escape. Then, the saving fear of the inevitable allows a person to make a truly right choice and start making the right efforts.
Yes, in essence, there is powerful energy hidden. Or perhaps it's a mechanism. Initially, there is fear. But if a person continues to act, then this fear transforms into strength. Fear initially warns them against a certain action, but then sees that the person continues to act, and its reaction changes. Maybe they need it for survival. Our instinctive center thinks and gives us a burst of energy. You're a brave girl, Angelina. You know how to be brave, exploring the world and yourself at such a young age.
The master praised her with a smile.
I'm not that brave, but I'll risk asking a question. Taking an example from my daughter,
Angelina's father, a tall, slender 45-year-old brunette with elegant glasses in a thin frame, stood up.
Great master, where does fear reside? In one situation, the voice trembles. In another, it's the legs or hands. How can we understand where fear is hidden in the body?
The thing, Waldemar, is that fear resides in the entire body because during stress, enzymes and hormones are released and our nervous system begins to behave differently. The heart beats, breathing accelerates, the whole body participates. We simply notice its manifestations in different places depending on where we direct our attention. But overall, in such situations, our entire body is engulfed in fear.
After thanking the keeper for the answer, the man returned to his seat, clearly continuing to contemplate the master's response. He wanted to anchor this knowledge immediately, and he was clearly recalling a specific situation, trying to vividly reconstruct the sensations in his body at that moment. The next question was of interest to many. It came from the young, fair-haired, beautiful girl, Audrey. As always, she was in a long, light dress, her hands adorned with graceful rings, and long earrings in her ears swayed like pendulums.
Beloved Master, tell me, how can one work with sexual energy? You mentioned that it helps to remove the fear of the false personality.
Here, openness is essential, Olivia. Sexual energy is connected with openness. We were trained to be good boys and girls. Sit at the desk like this, raise your hand like this. The more a child is confined, like a robot, the more parents like it. Whatever you tell them, they will do it or sit obediently without any sense. Parents love such children immensely. A good child is growing up. But if a child is active, restless, parents get upset. We have a bad child, and they try their best to intimidate, crush, put in the corner, so that the child stands or sits there motionless. They are very happy. Finally, he stopped shouting, running, and playing. Oh, he has become so good. Parents themselves confine their children, turn them into fools who later live in such a constrained state and are incapable of introducing themselves, greeting, or asking for something. Thus they live in their constraints, fears, and complexes. If later a person practices exercises for liberation, these blocks are removed, and then they can act normally and freely. That's why such practices are crucial. After them, the body relaxes. Energy flows more freely, including sexual energy.
Thank you, Master. Your answer about unlocking bodily blocks and gaining more strength was very helpful. I experienced it myself during physical practices in yoga, but I couldn't always understand why it happens. Now I know that the energy started to circulate freely. Apparently, with the help of this saving knowledge, I can fix my malfunctions and remove the blocks limiting my feminine power. I will definitely use this in sessions with women.
Olivia folded her hands in a namaste gesture.
Master, the topic of children still haunts me.
Mila raised her hand again, inquiring about her goddaughter.
My nephew is 18. He is a keen enthusiast of extreme sports. He jumps with a parachute, descends from steep mountains on skis, and does various other things. He is constantly on an adrenaline peak. Does it mean he uses fear to get high, like drug addicts?
Yes, some people engage in extreme activities. They use fear to feel an energy rush, tone, a vivid state of wakefulness. The adrenaline rush given to overcome obstacles can contribute to the release of energy, and a person starts to feel different and may even become an adrenaline addict, continuously seeking more intense thrills. And in the end, one might even perish. However, if he embraces the knowledge and joins the men's group in the school, he will find much more profound experiences there. The right impressions provide tremendous strength, incomparable to his adrenaline high.
The keeper of knowledge replied with a smile and gratitude to the disciple who cared about the fate of others.
I already understood this myself. I will definitely try to persuade him. Thank you, keeper.
Mila seemed pensive, apparently contemplating how to introduce the young man to the truth.
Beloved Master, addressing Olivia's question about blocks, you touched on an important topic for me. I want to learn more. May I?
Irene, a woman in her 50s with ample forms, large, clear yellow-green eyes, who often asked about health, both spiritual and physical, which seemed significant for her, took the floor. Her forms were hidden under a spacious boho dress, and her hair was tucked under a beautiful headscarf tied like a turban.
I practice spiritual exercises, but I don't always manage to see these blocks that restrict the body. Please tell me, how can I more deeply experience this practice and free myself from constraints faster?
Irene, you need to do more non-standard things. Usually we do everything according to a template. It is important to notice what is difficult for you and try to do exactly that. You have to try to break this pattern. Then you will be able to overcome these constraints and fears embedded in them. Therefore, you need to become more uninhibited and act differently. Then you will be able to overcome your blocks.
Master, I think that we experience the spiritual fear of our own ugliness rather rarely. But the fear of opening up to people, engaging in communication, going to a new place, happen much more often.
A young, slender Margot addressed the master. She had sad eyes, and her slightly hunched figure appeared gloomy and tense. Gray tones of clothing added even more gloominess to her appearance. In her hands, clenched into a fist, she held Rudraksha beads, and with the other hand, she fidgeted with them like rosary beads. Looking at the disciple, the keeper of knowledge embraced her with his light of warmth and love. Her facial expression changed, and exhaling, she seemed to release stress and continued on a higher note.
I noticed many times that if I have a difficult situation, it repeats until there is an internal conflict within me, and it will persist until I genuinely gather the courage and take a step into the unknown. I don't know how it will end. I don't know what will happen, what consequences I will face. I just understand that I need to take this step, overcome this fear of some unknown, overcome the judgment of my imagination, which is sick. The wisdom of the Mahatmas teaches that only courage and fearlessness will help on the spiritual path. I notice that when I have the right state, genuine transformation and development processes take place. But if I'm afraid, cling to my internal conflict, to my stupid fear, there is no growth, and the situation remains the same.
Yes, of course, Margot. One must learn to overcome one's fears because they hinder repentance, openness, sincerity. We want to deceive, to turn things around somehow because our parents punished us when we were sincere and open, doing what we wanted, what we considered right. Now we need to remove all these masks and learn to be sincere again, to overcome our fears.
Yes, absolutely right,
exclaimed Margot. Her voice was no longer trembling as before, but resonant and strong. Her shoulders straightened, and her eyes sparkled. The audience observed this scene in amazement. The keeper of knowledge, with his energy, literally pulled the girl out of that state of constriction, allowing the flow of her energy to flow unobstructed.
Master, when I managed to overcome my fear, it feels like some power enters me. It reminded me of your idea that if a person practices asceticism, their attention doesn't wander and the strength doesn't dissipate. Similarly here, when I do something non-standard, initially it's scary and terribly uncomfortable, but then an incredible energy comes. So, by overcoming fear one after another, can one spiritually grow?
Of course, dear Margot, of course. My beloved disciples. When we part with certain complexes, fears, and constrictions, our strength increases. As I mentioned before, energy that was held back, suppressed, is released. You've taken the first step. Learned to greet people, then ask questions, and now it becomes easier and easier for you to communicate with people in general because you are no longer afraid of them. You now have a lot of energy.
With these words, the keeper of knowledge approached Margot and placed his hand on her head. The warmth of his hand spread throughout the girl's body. Meanwhile, the disciples sitting nearby jumped up from their seats and began to hug Margot, offering words of support. She smiled and melted. The whole meadow was enveloped in an atmosphere of indescribable bright joy and unity and spiritual aspirations.
Masters,
suddenly, bringing others back to reality, a clear voice of an inquisitive disciple from the edge of the clearing was heard.
If we view enlightenment as death, could it potentially lack the courage and determination needed to fully strive for liberation?
Dionysius, the philosopher, re-entered the dialogue with the master.
Maybe the fear of losing oneself as an individual precisely hinders our enlightenment and holds us back, preventing us from growing intensively?
Yes, of course,
nodded the teacher to the young man.
You're talking about the fear of being different, We are all accustomed to being misfits. It's frightening to become something else, not like everyone else, to become normal. I was taught to jump on crutches, and how will I leave them and walk on my own feet? It's something unknown, incomprehensible. On crutches, everything is clear to me. I already know that. But what does it mean to walk on feet? It's unclear. What if it's dangerous? What if I fall?
The keeper of knowledge, mimicking a fall, amusingly sat on the grass next to his disciples and continued speaking.
What if something else happens, and a person clings to, holds on to his crutches, doesn't let them go? I'm telling you about overcoming the fear of something new, something unusual. When you overcome it, you will understand that life can be entirely different, not as you are accustomed to and as you were taught.
Taking advantage of the proximity to the master, the next question was posed by the lady in boho attire.
Perhaps fear covers laziness. It seems to me that people often hide behind fear, but in reality, it is laziness. Laziness to make efforts, laziness to work, laziness to change something in their lives. Let me be honest. Speaking about others, I am talking about myself. I do the same,
confessed the disciple.
Yes, Irene. I think you already understand that laziness and fear are connected. We are afraid to part with laziness. When a person is strongly identified with laziness, fear arises. I won't do anything, or they will force me to do something. It becomes scary that effort is needed. One must be active and step out of this amoebic, meaningless state.
And what to do? How to get out of this?
Sighed Irene.
You need to disidentify with it, laugh at yourself, exaggerate to see this foolishness. Then it will not be so scary to be active.
With these words, the keeper of knowledge, laughing, actively jumped up from the grass. Charged with his words and energy, the disciples also followed him, rising from their places and heading towards the spacious meditation hall. To transition from theory to practice, and not become prey for the insects that became more active with the onset of dusk. In the hearts of each disciple, truth found a response because the master chose words and images that were close to them, through which the great wisdom conveyed by the enlightened master would be understandable. Now, like clouds, growing denser, the bestowed knowledge swirled in the minds of the disciples. Each understood that fears can originate from essence. For example, the fear of heights or darkness, where there is no judgment of other people. Also, fears can stem from personality. When the fear of judgment arises, the fear of embarrassing oneself in front of others, etc. The first one is ingrained in us by nature to prevent humans from easily destroying themselves, whereas the fears of personality are shaped by parents, people around who, from childhood, enslave a person and condemn them to live in constraints, fears, and complexes throughout their lives. Fear lives throughout the entire body because during stress, enzymes and hormones are released, and our nervous system begins to behave differently. It's very challenging to get rid of it truly. And only by meeting a master who explains all this, a person, by doing special exercises and practices, can remove all these blocks and then act normally and freely. For this invaluable knowledge and the opportunity to change their destiny, each disciple now thanked the sage and God for the chance to connect with it. The master and his disciples walked past bushes and trees with the last glimmers of the setting sun in their leaves. From the side, it might have seemed that these people were lost in the forest, and the one ahead was merely showing them the way, guiding them, protecting them from the coming darkness. But in reality, that's exactly what it was. The Great Master was leading all these people out of ignorance toward wise knowledge, paving the path to a happy and prosperous life.
Do you want to know more? Watch the animated masterpiece that reveals the mysteries of humanity. Discover more sacred knowledge in books. You can meet the main characters of books at our seminars. Find your amulet of power. Participate in an individual ritual. Open free channel with daily spiritual practices for yourself. All these you will find on our website www.amazon1.org. Share this book and spread the great knowledge. Then people's lives will change for the better, and you will accumulate good karma and be able to help all your loved ones.